We're going to be looking this morning at Psalm 27. So, while you turn into it, I want you to do what I'm going to do now. I'm going to take a deep breath and breathe out. I needed to do that. Psalm 27 is, we've got about 25 minutes or so. It's a psalm I could spend more than 25 minutes on. And as I was thinking about what I would speak about on this, I knew I would have a reduced amount of time to speak about it. So my thoughts kept going back to that word that I just mentioned, a theme. And just like in any kind of good story, a good film, there's a theme. Every story has a great beginning, a middle, and an end. Great characters, great plot, great script, great directing if it's a film, a movie. But most of them, Psalm 27 for me is, it tells a story. It tells a story of David's heart. Because we know how David is described in the Bible as a man after God's own heart. It tells a story, but it goes into the detail. It goes into scenes, and it goes into almost like a storyboard. Friends of mine have in the last few years become amateur filmmakers. About 3 years ago, they made a full-length movie, and they said one of the most interesting things about it was preparing for it, doing the storyboards, because that was where the story came alive. Before they even picked up a camera. And we can look at the Psalms like that. We can look at this particular Psalm, Psalm 27, as almost like a series of pictures of a storyboard of what happens, the various scenes in the story. So let's look at verse 1. And what I'm going to do, I'm not going to go through every single verse and focus on every single verse. I'm going to pull out a few verses because of the time we've got. Well, let's look at verse 1. It's a psalm of David. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" It's always good to pause, I think, when you finish a verse with a question mark. Of whom shall I be afraid? So imagine it was a movie that you'd gone to see. You sat down in the cinema, like we were yesterday in the cinema. We went to watch Planes. And I thought, you know, I've been thinking about that because this is a similar parallel. There's the young hero who's this crop duster. Small little plane, and he wants to race, but he's obviously not built for racing. He's built for dusting crops, but he still has this desire in him to race. And it's a great story of going from weakness to strength, and it doesn't just happen like that. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not a fairy tale thing. It's not like a magic wand fairy tale story where it just happens. He has to go through lessons, he has to go through, you know, the school of hard knocks, and in the end, as in any great story where there's a young hero, he sees victory at the end of it. But a lot of stories, a lot of films start with something that gives you an indication of what we should be looking for in the story. And right away in this psalm, the first verse, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life." So there's three things there: light, salvation, and strength. David begins by introducing us to the main character, God. And he begins by describing God to us from his own point of view. What God means to him. And really that's it, isn't it, about God. You know, if you ask the average person in the street, who is God? They would tell you what they are basing on the knowledge that they have. You know, that their own experience of God will be the nutshell of the answer, really. And David begins here by telling us who God is to him. He's my light, he's my salvation, he's my strength. Therefore, doesn't say that here, but I'm going to put a therefore in. Therefore, who can I be afraid of? Who should I be afraid of? Just thinking about this service this morning, it's no accident that I'm looking at Psalm 27 and the songs that Helen chose for the worship, and Sarah speaking to Melanie about adoption. It's the same theme of what should I be afraid of when I've got a God who's so great? Why should I feel weak when I've got a God who's so strong? We're praying for John this morning as well. We've been praying for someone who's going through something that's weakened him. But God is strong. His God is strong. I've been thinking about John quite a lot when I've been putting this together. And as we go through that, you'll see, as we get to verses 4, 5 and 6, which is the main theme, you'll see the way it's reminded me of someone who's in that place of stillness and needs strength. So David starts with this. It's like the opening scene of the movie. And then, verse 2 and 3, we have a bit of the backstory, if you like. The narrative, setting the scene. You know, because if you're going to say, whom shall I be afraid of, then we're intrigued, aren't we? We want to know, what is he afraid of? You know, we've got to relate it to ourselves. What am I afraid of? There's a question mark there, and that's for us. Who shall I be afraid of? Well, David was afraid of this, verses 2 and 3. When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. So there's the things he could potentially be afraid of. But look what he says, they stumbled and fell. In this I will be confident. Why? Why does he feel confident? Is it that declaration he makes in the first verse? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Yes, it is. But it's not just that. Because verses 1 to 3 only tells us what God knows about God. What David knows about God. Whereas when we get to verse 4, it's about what David does about it. It's one thing, you know, to know that God is faithful, to know that God is with you. As Josh said this morning, he'll never leave you or forsake you. As we've heard in the interview, the small interview about adoption, that God has a plan and a purpose. It's good to know these things. But it's about experiencing it. So what does David do? Well, this is what he does, and this is the main theme of the movie, if you like. An example would be Forrest Gump. The main sort of theme that's carried through the movie is this great line: "Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get." I would do it in my American drawl, but it's not very good. "Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get." Or Star Wars, one of my favourite films. There's this line: "May the Force be with you." That's carried through the whole film. Luke Skywalker doesn't get through his faces his enemies, and he doesn't get through those battles without using the Force, without having the Force with him. So come back to the psalm in verse 4, which is probably the most quoted verse of this particular psalm. Here's David's theme that he carries through the whole psalm and his whole life, in fact. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek. That he's repeated. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Underline dwell. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For me, that is what David not only tells himself, but does. He tells himself, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, is my strength. But then he goes away and he does this. He seeks God and he dwells in the presence of God. Two things, knowledge and experience. That's the theme that he will carry through the rest of the psalm, and that David will carry through the rest of his life. One thing he's desired. It's simple, isn't it? I mean, when we're going through adversity, when we're going through times of weakness, through illness, when things are getting us down, we need to turn to God. It's simple. I don't know if we can get the picture up, but it's up there, but I'll show you how simple it is. If it was possible, I would write this book myself. Strengthen yourself in the Lord for dummies. Come on. When you're going through the mill, where do you turn to? Where does my help come from? This book will tell you. Learn to. I can't even read it. Use basic relational skills. Hello, God. It's me. It's James. What's that, God? Did you say something back? I like what it says in your word, God. I like how that encourages me. Learn to wait. Learn to think. Learn to listen. Almost like the Green Cross Code, isn't it? Stop, look, and listen. Green Cross Code, man. Wait, think, listen. And remember. Don't just, you know, learn these lessons and then forget about them. Learn to do it without someone's help or someone around you. You know, often when we're going through the mill, we want people around us first. It's good. It's biblical. We need support from our church and our family and friends. But you can learn this stuff without help of anybody else, as David did, as we read in verse 4, dwelling in the house of the Lord. Learn to do it without a self-help book. Lots of those if you go into Waterstones. Probably a whole section of self-help books now. And do it without a mirror. Looking in the mirror, come on, come on, you can do better than this. Gritting your teeth. J.R. Hartley. Yeah. Not the author, but I didn't want to put my own name there. So I thought of an author that is well sought after. Fly fishing especially. It is basic stuff. Strengthening yourself in the Lord for dummies. That's the title of this, what I'm speaking about this morning. What I get from this psalm is that how to strengthen yourself in the Lord. How to. And the answer to that is verse 4. Let's read verse 4 again and we'll read on this time. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up. Who needs their head lifting up today? You've got to read verse 4 and 5 first. Don't just say, God, lift my head up. You've got to read verse 4 and 5. You've got to enter into what David entered into. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. And then verses 7 to 9 goes into a prayer. David speaks out a prayer to God. So what we see a pattern forming. We see it just like a movie. The theme keeps getting revisited. He'll say this prayer, then he'll make another great statement, a great declaration about the condition of his heart and who God is. Verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. How many times have you cried to God and just wanted to know that he was listening? You wanted to know that he heard your prayer. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. He's saying yes to God. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Been my help. Past tense. He's experienced the help of the Lord. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. That's the end of the prayer. Then he makes this great statement, which completely fits with the theme we've been looking at this morning of adoption. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. And one of the things I'd like to say about that is I can hold that scripture dear to my heart. When my children ask me questions of why was I adopted, I can tell them the facts. Give them the details. I can wrap it up in whichever way I like. I can make it sound the worst it could be. I could try and dress it up so it doesn't sound as bad. Whichever way I say it, it will still be something that hurts their heart, and they will have to deal with it. But I'll be able to say this to them. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. I know God has blessed me with being a father to these children, and my wife and mother. But it's the Lord who is their father. And whether their birth mother or birth father abandoned them, left them, or couldn't care for them, and they were taken out of their care, The Father in heaven, Abba Father, is their Father. He will take care of them. David has this conviction in his heart. He says it at the end of that prayer. And then he says another prayer, verse 11 to 12. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. In the previous prayer, he's asking for assurance. In this prayer, he's asking for guidance. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. He's asking for grace. He's asking for favour. For false witnesses have risen against me. False witnesses have risen against me. And such breathe out violence. He needs the favour. He needs the vindication of the Lord. He needs the Lord to be on his side. And then, verse 13, he makes another declaration, which I think is a wonderful one, and probably missed in this psalm because of verse 4 being the most quoted verse. Verse 13 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wow. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. David is just pouring out his heart. He makes his statement of life, really, is like a lifetime vow in verse 4 of desiring to seek God and dwell in his presence. And saying that if I hadn't have done that, if I hadn't have planned my life that way, if I hadn't have turned to God in times of adversity, in times of weakness, I would have lost heart. If I hadn't have trusted in the Lord, I would have lost heart. If I hadn't have believed in his goodness, that his goodness, even in times of darkness, his light shines in. Even in times of doom and gloom, I know him as the Saviour. His salvation is real to me. I would have lost heart, he says. But no, I didn't, because I believed in his goodness. And his goodness came through. And how does he realise his goodness? He says in verse 14, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. It says in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. It talks about the nations raging and uproar. And be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that God is in control of what is going on. God is in control today. He's in control of what's happening when you switch on the news. God is in control. He's not lost control. He's not given up everything and let the devil just do what he wants. God is in control. He has a plan. He has a purpose for everything. So wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I see verse 14 as the verse where David's now speaking to the reader, to us. You've seen what I've been through. You've seen how I get through the hard times. I turn to the Lord, I dwell in his presence, and I'm strengthened. I inquire in his temple. I gain wisdom by inquiring in his temple. I hear things that I wouldn't hear from anybody else. The Lord speaks to me in ways that no one else can speak to me. He reveals things to me that no one else can show me. So David at the end says, do this, wait on the Lord. Wait on him. Be of good courage. You know, be encouraged. Be comforted. The word comfort, it means with strength. Comfort yourself in this knowledge that by waiting on him, you'll be strengthened. That is like we've got the first bit, which is like the prologue to the start of the movie or the story, the play. The Lord is my light and my salvation and my strength. And then we've got this like epilogue at the end. Basically saying the advice is this, wait on him. Be encouraged. He'll strengthen you. Just want to briefly pray. I want to pray about these things that David desires. He desires, first of all, to dwell. To dwell means to remain somewhere, to stay there for a sustained amount of time. It's no good doing what Jesus says, shutting your door and praying, doing it for 5 minutes. If you really are going through the mill, if you're really in a place where you feel weak, you need to shut that door and you need to stay in there for an hour or longer. You need to go in there with your Bible, with your notepad, MP3 player maybe, with some worship music on, and you need to soak in his presence. You need to dwell. So just dwell. And while you're there, just while you're there, behold the beauty of the Lord. Beauty is something that, for me, I see something beautiful, you see something beautiful. It's without question. You know, no one will question what you find beautiful. No one can question what I see beautiful. God is all beautiful. It means perfection. It means a depth to God with intrigue. I want to know more. I want to ask more. I want to see more. I want to feel more of it. That's beauty. And I like the words that are used here, pavilion and secret place. I looked at what a pavilion was, and it's basically a privileged space of relaxation and pleasure. You see them in your stately homes, don't you, in the gardens, pavilions. And they are nice places, and in a hot day, it's shade. In the rain, it's shelter. That's the picture that is being painted to us, that is being portrayed by using the word pavilion. And a secret place. A secret place suggests intimacy and quietness. What a great recipe for being strengthened in the Lord. Beholding His beauty. In a privileged space of relaxation and pleasure. With intimacy and quietness all around you. But it doesn't just end there. It doesn't just end with that peace and that joy. There's a strength that rises up above. And the strength that rises up above is the words that are used here, which is, He sets me high upon a rock. High upon a rock. Above everything. On something that's solid and cannot be shifted. Set above my enemies. What an amazing God we have, that He gives us peace, He gives us joy, and He gives us strength. As we cultivate a heart that David had, to seek and to dwell and to behold. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the instruction, the practical instruction that You give us. That in times when we are in need, we can turn to friends and family. We can turn to our brothers and sisters. But to turn to You in the way that David turned to You. To seek You with all our heart. To dwell in Your presence. To behold Your beauty. To be in a place of peace, joy, and strength. To be strengthened by You, Lord, is the greatest thing we can do in every situation. And right now, Father, I just think of John. He's been bedbound. Lord, I'm almost envious in a way that he's been able to just be still and know that You're with him and know that You're his God, strengthening him, giving him peace and joy. Father, I pray as we think about John, as we pray about John this week, we'll remember this psalm and all the benefits that come with entering into Your presence. Be bestowed upon John, Lord. Peace, joy, and strength. Delight of knowing You, Lord. Delight of seeing You, inquiring of You, seeing more of You. I pray that for each of us as well, Lord. That we will overcome every obstacle, every enemy, every adversity, every fear by Your love. Because it is a relationship that grows when we spend time with You in Your presence. It's about You pouring out Your love into our hearts. You love us first, and we love You back. The more measure, the greater the measure of the love. So Father, we pray You'll do that. Pour out Your love into our hearts. Help us to do what David did, to seek You, to dwell in Your presence and behold You. In the name of Jesus. Amen.